Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Please don't wear red tonight.
Hey.
Remember what I've said tonight. For red is the color that my baby wore. And what's more, it's true. Yes, it is.
Ah, cool old Beatles song. Hey, it's Brian Beebe. And we're once again live on Facebook and on MadisonTalks.com. So I'm hoping that we got to get a different camera angle. There we go.
Better.
All right. Hey, Mike Brockenfeld in the behind the camera, behind the controls, answering the phone. I don't know what he gets paid, but it's not enough. Yeah, it's Brian Beebe, once again brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Beautiful Italian restaurant and bar up in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. And today we're going to talk about a number of things. And I could actually get that picture out from under. Mitch likes to cover up my name whenever he can. My name is back there being covered up by the picture of the Madison skyline.
Brian B.
Yeah, Brian B. That's good enough. I'll tell you a couple jokes about bees. Yeah. We're worried about bees, but that's not one of the things we're planning to talk about today. I'm going to throw out some subjects and invite you to call in and talk about whatever you feel like. The number here is 608-210-1667. And I can't talk about every subject there is, but I can talk about music pretty with just about anybody, and we're going to talk about a couple other things too. Just briefly, you can talk about whatever you want, but I can't help listening to all this stuff about the NFL controversy and not having a couple things to say about it. So I'm gonna bring something about that. Then I want to talk about a couple of things that are coming up at Monk's in the way of concerts, and share with you some fun things about things we got planned up there. And I got to remember to bring my keyboard home because I'm playing at a benefit for autistic kids out at Wild Rose Ranch in Baraboo on Sunday afternoon. If you're not doing anything, come on out and hay rides and all the other things that they're doing for. It's one of those fall festival things, but they're doing it for autistic kids, and they're going to have music all day. I'm playing from 1 to 2, and my friend Nancy Rago is going to split that time with me. She's going to play or sing, and I'll play behind her, and then I'll play some stuff myself too. But anyway. Let me toss out a couple of things that you might want to talk about. And I heard some really, really cool live Beatle recordings that I've never heard. And I'm hoping that my friend Ed Legg will call in about that. And I've friends of mine have also... I'm having trouble getting my thoughts organized today, but my friend Stevie Ray Nelson had some interesting thoughts about the NFL controversy. And I thought he made a good point when he said, well, if they just kneel and don't have a chance to say what they're protesting, confusion can come about. And somebody could invent their own reasons for why these people might be kneeling, you know,
yeah.
like has happened in this case. Some people say they knelt to protest police brutality and racial injustice. And then somebody else said it was about disrespect for the country and the military and the flag and the national anthem, and oh my gosh. So my friend Stevie, and he made a good point, he said maybe they should, he didn't say they shouldn't kneel, but he said maybe they should be protesting in an environment where they can't actually say what they're protesting. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So to just avoid the confusion. And I like that idea. But one of the things that I wanted to say that doesn't seem like anybody has said in all of this talk about this is that these men, black or white, these athletes, generally haven't maybe had as much opportunity to make a point about anything significant going on in their communities and their lives. And all of a sudden, they have the national spotlight. And they have a chance to make a statement. Okay, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. But I remember it when Michael Jordan was popular, when he was playing, and he got all kinds of criticism from the black community for not saying enough. They thought he was way too white and not involved in black causes and black issues. Isn't it, I don't know, maybe it's every man's right to get involved in whatever issues they choose to or not get involved.
Or not.
Look what happened to Muhammad Ali. I mean, he decided to just take a non-mainstream religion as his own, mm-hmm. and protested the draft. And all of a sudden, he lost his career in the three most productive income years of his life. So, I mean, it can be very, very devastating to say something or not say something. So maybe it has to be an individual decision. I listened to the Roger Goodell press conference today, and he basically didn't say that the league was going to make it mandatory for these guys to stand. It's in their contracts that they're supposed to stand and hold their... They should. Should is the word. That they should hold this this helmet under their arm and stand and not talk. Doesn't say they have to sing or anything like that. But that's what's suggested. Whether they do that or not. But if the league was, and they made another good point in the discussions afterwards, that this is really kind of the NFL and the television networks, you know, between them. The NFL really owns that time. Hmm. That is their time. And they can kind of be in charge of what happens on camera on their network time that they're paying big dollars for.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes sense. But the minute that they start telling these athletes that they can't protest, and that first athlete decides to take it upon himself to do it anyway, and they maybe take him out in handcuffs or bench a great player, all of a sudden you're going to have 40,000 people fighting the other 40,000 people in that 80,000 seat. They're just going to be going crazy if they take a guy out in handcuffs or even if they just, somebody comes along and like lifts him to his feet or something. and oh my God, can you imagine if they legislate that and say that they have to stand and somebody doesn't? I can't imagine how it would be. All right, if you want to talk about that, let's talk about that. That's 608-210-1667. I was reminded today of something Chris Rock said in his stand-up act called Blacker Than Ever or something like. Remember one of the 10 years ago, 15 years ago he did it. And he said, you can say what you will about these rich black athletes. He said, I don't think any white guy would trade places with them. And he says, I don't think any white man out there would trade places with me, and I'm rich. So, I mean, it doesn't matter, I don't think, if you're rich or not. There's something to be said for just the basic differences between blacks and whites and the way they're perceived in this country. And I don't know that wealthy athletes, it's because most of the guys watching NFL are broke guys, probably, that they really take issue with the fact that these are millionaire athletes, you know. Do you think that athletes are not worth what they're paid? I mean, if these guys, if these NFL owners could get somebody to do it for less, don't you think they would? It could be that good. And if there's only 400 guys playing football, that's the 400 best guys in, you know, and every position can only have, you know, 50 or 60, yeah. You know, and it amongst all those teams. And it just doesn't make sense that we can hold their money against them, because they just, if they could do it, and they try to expand the league all the time and get more teams out there, man, but that doesn't seem to drive the prices down of these athletes. If they could get them for cheaper, they would, and if they can't get them cheaper, then they're supposed to pay them, and because they make so many millions of dollars more than you and I do, it's hard to for me to see how that can be held against them.
Well, there's a great deal of skill too.
Yeah. and years and years of sacrifice, yeah. To been playing since Pop Warner League, you know, when they were kids, and they can only play for 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
So if you average that $10 million salary over their life expectancy, which may be less than other people too, and you say to 50 years, oh, that's all of a sudden only, $2 million a year? Hmm. What is it, 50 years? $200,000 a year. $200,000 a year over 50 years, you know, for $10 million. So, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about now. I lost my train of thought. But let us know why you're kneeling, you know, and if that's the issue, I don't know. Because I think people generally know that these guys are not anti-military, they're not even anti-American or anti-flag or anything like that. It all started with Colin Kaepernick, and he wasn't even the first. I mean, there's been protests like these since the 70s, you know, probably even before that. I mean, the civil rights movement was in the 60s, and there was lots of protesting going on then. Even Muhammad Ali in the 60s right there. But anyway, let us know why you're kneeling, or why you feel that this is a valid issue for us to be talking about. 608-210-1667. We'll talk about some other things too. And here's something I ran into, Mike, that I was listening to NPR, a show on NPR over the weekend, as I usually do. I like to listen to Away with Words at 9 a.m. on Sundays, about language. I like to listen to Wait, Don't Tell Me at noon. But somebody, I still had the radio on after Don't Tell Me was over, and they were talking about vaccinations. And in the process of this discussion, I learned that they generally inject flu virus, for example, for a flu shot, into an unfertilized egg, a chicken egg. Hmm. And then they take that yolk and create the vaccine out of that egg yolk, okay? Did you realize that, first of all, Do you know that McDonald's is the number one user of eggs, purchaser, consumer of eggs in the world?
Wow, yeah.
And you know who's number two? Oh. The vaccine industry.
Interesting.
More eggs get used by the vaccines than all of the rest of us combined. What the heck is going on there? Anyway, I didn't know that they were used in producing vaccines, and I didn't know that there was that many eggs used. That was interesting to me. We're going to talk today about Zeno and Joe up at Monk's a week from, on November 4th, that's 2 weeks from Saturday, and talk about that show. I put a little thing on Facebook that I hoped would be interesting to everybody about going to a Zeno and Joe concert, and I will share that some more with you right after the break. It's the Brian Beebe Show, live on Facebook and on madisontalks.com. I'll be better in a minute after the break.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to madisontalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with madisontalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit madisontalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit madisontalks.com. madisontalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I hate to say it, but I told you so.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mind my preaching to you.
The Bo Brummels, man.
I said, don't trust
Sal
him, baby,
Valentino,
you know.
Lead singer.
You don't let
back in fall of 71, this is a pretty good story, but I'm just going to tell you this part of it. Robin and I played out in Aspen, Colorado at a place called the Aspen Inn. Robin Zander and I were in a duo together, for those of you who might be listening for the first time, who knows. Anyway, and we walked out there with two acoustic guitars and played for 15 minutes or so on the break of this 10-piece rock and roll band called Stone Ground. And Sal Valentino of the Bo Brummels was the lead singer. So, and they had some original cast members from the Broadway production of Hair. And this is a big-time rock and roll band. And here's us walking out on their breaks with our two acoustic guitars, singing old Neil Young songs.
Nice.
They weren't old Neil Young songs at the time. They were new Neil Young songs, and trying to be hip, you know. But they hated us, and that's another part of that story. But you know, I've been listening to the radio, and I'm gonna maybe have to stop doing that. But discussions about discussions today about this conversation that Trump had with this fallen Green Beret guy over in Niger. And in the same conversation, not the same people talking, but in the same conversation about this thing, I heard Trump described as shameful and shameless. Does that mean that the word shameful equals the same as shameless? I don't know. It's it just struck me because I'm into words, you know. Shameful means the same thing as shameless. I don't know. I think that it means shameful is an act. Shameful is an act would be something that was a shameful act.
Sure.
And yeah. Somebody who was without shame would be shameless.
Who is, yeah.
And not necessarily blameless. Blameful, blameless. I don't know. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, maybe I'll tell you the whole story about the trip to Aspen, Colorado, where we played for that at the Aspen Inn. Stop me, Mike, if I've already told this story. But
I don't think so.
You know, when you're a kid starting out playing music, as opposed to a guy who's been doing it for a long time, you're a lot less jaded, and you're likely to take a person up on one of these people that says, "Hey, come on out to L.A. I'll get you a job. Come to Minneapolis. I'll get you guys a job. You guys are great, you know." And when you're young, you go, "Oh yeah, great. Maybe we will." And when you get to be older, you just go, "Yeah, sure, man." You know it's not going to happen. But anyway, this is the first summer we played in the Dells, 1971. And these guys from Camp McCoy up in Sparta were there on reserve duty. And they came to the Dells to party, and we met them and hung out. And they were from Denver. And, of course, they had a great time partying with us. And they said, "Hey, after the summer's over, come on out to Denver. We'll get you some jobs." Yeah. And this is how bad this was. Without even calling them ahead of time, we packed up and drove out there. And we got to Denver and called them, and they could have easily hung up, wrong number, anything, you know. But they didn't. And they invited us to their home. It was two guys,
awesome.
A guy and his roommate. They weren't gay, but they lived together, and we went to their home and spent an evening or a night, and then they took us to Aspen. It's all expenses paid. They led us out there. One of the guys was had been a ski instructor there, and so they put us up in which is $100 a day. I can remember that. It was a lot at the time.
71, yeah.
$100 a day condominium at the foot of this ski hill with a sauna in the front room and a fireplace and a balcony. We used to get in the sauna and get really hot with our pores way open and then go through the sliding glass door and jump over the deck into the snow. So that was actually a nice feeling. But these guys, and this was in November, and they actually had a friend of theirs who was a country club chef come and prepare Thanksgiving dinner for us.
Whoa.
And they invited famous people. You're going to think I'm lying, but I'm not. They invited Jill St. John and Claudine Langer, who murdered her skier boyfriend, Spider Savage, out there. To a party, Thanksgiving, and we were to play, and they tried to get us to become famous, and they're the ones who set up all these jobs. And we played five or six different bars in Aspen, Colorado, in a week or two's time, and one of them was at Aspen Inn where we just died. We bombed completely trying to play on the brakes of this big rock and roll band. We died so bad that we actually had this guy. It was a long bar. Here's the stage on one end and a dance floor and then all the seating. And this guy came out of his seat, walked across the dance floor towards the stage, and stood on his head in the lotus position, facing away from us, like, "Here's my ass.
Uh-huh.
You guys are terrible. You know, and this is how I'm going to show you how bad you are. I'm just going to stand on my head in front of the stage." How bad? Have I told that story,
no,
Mike?
No, that's pretty good.
But, so we had been there five or six days, and I don't know how many nights we had already played there, but we decided we were trying to be too hip, you know. We were doing our Neil Young and our Buffalo Springfield and stuff, trying to play to the hip crowd in Aspen. And we were dying. So we just said, we went out the last night we were there and got up there and did Beatles, old Beatles songs that we were, you know, we grew up on, and they loved us.
Awesome.
You know, it's what we did best, and we were doing it, and we just did it because we couldn't do the other things effectively, so we just played the Beatles. And they were coming up to us after we got done. Hey, man, you guys did the Beatles? You guys were fab, you know. you know. So anyway, that and there's other good stories about that same visit to Colorado, but... that was the one, because you played Bo Brummel's Sal Valentino. That story goes all the way back to your break music.
All because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know you were going to dredge up all that stuff just by playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So anyway, I got some, I've got some new jokes, but there's that song. I wrote this song, That's Sorrento's, to the tune of That's Amore, you know. And I never got it finished, so I have never sung it. 11 years I've been at Sorrento's. And it goes like this. When the time is so right, that and it's your special night, that's Sorrento's. And it goes on, you know. When you're tired of the grind and it's time for some wine, that's Sorrento's. Every day, every... Tippy, tippy, tay. And that's the part where I... When the sun and the fun is all done, you can run to Sorrento's. You know, don't you think that's pretty good? I mean,
sounds
really,
like a jingle.
Yeah,
to me.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's money here. Just a minute. I will play each and every day, even with no pay, sucking up like a plunger. No, that's it. When you stay, and there's a lot of that I've. Lines that I've crossed out here that I'm, yeah. Mom and dad are all mad. Brought these kids, all these kids to Sorrento. You know, they don't want. I gotta clean it up. But it's maybe it's a potential. Yeah, I'm hoping that that Tom, my boss at Sorrento's, is listening, but not right now. Not at this moment, anyway. So, here's the other thing I was thinking of. Nobody else is talking about this, either. We've heard Trump talking about the fire and the fury. And we heard Bush talking about the shock and awe, the mother of all, whatever. And there's no way we can just make... the Korean Peninsula go away. I mean, and nobody's going to sign up for any kind of a ground war.
No.
So unless we get shot at first with a nuclear war weapon, we're not going to have any kind of scenario like that,
right.
Wiping them out. There's 30 million people in South Korea, and many of them are, you know, Americans. Mm-hmm. So they can't just blow it off and the nuclear winter. Nobody's talking about the nuclear winter anymore, the fallout from any kind of even if North Korea just shot one at us and that was it, we didn't even retaliate, the nuclear winter, the fallout from that would be
terrible.
Would be just, kill millions of people anyway.
Yeah.
Because it blocks out the sun. You know, the fallout from a nuclear explosion. And I don't hear anybody saying that anymore. Is it scary to you that nobody mentions the after effects
must
of
be
any
like
kind
the,
of...
Must be like the greenhouse, you know.
Yeah.
It's not real.
The greenhouse gases. Yeah.
We don't worry about
effect,
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows if that's really what happens or not?
Well, if the sun can't... If the sun's rays... can get through and can't be reflected back out into space. That's the greenhouse effect.
Right.
And the heat that creates would kill all the vegetation and eventually kill all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the extreme of greenhouse gases, greenhouse effect is. Boy, I wish somebody would call up. I'd rather talk about anything but this now.
Nuclear war.
Yeah, nuclear war and the NFL, and I don't know how what happened to the. Just one other question too. If the media is disgraceful, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders said today, for things that they say and everything's fake news and stuff, what is the alternative there, Mike? How are we going to find out what people are doing to us and for us and stuff if there's no media? Mm. And is it all media that's bad, or is it just a few? And then let's point them out to people. I mean, which ones are good and which ones are bad? Which ones can we listen to and trust, and which ones can we not? If the White House is going to call them all bad and all fake news, what is the alternative? You know? Thank you, Mike. Thank you. My God.
Thinking music here?
Yeah, no, that's the thinking music. That's the thankful music. All right. We can just erase that first half hour.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
When you say you'll be back with a friend... Again and again with a friend, that's Sorrento's. Excuse me, but you see, it's all you want it to be, that's Sorrento's. That's got potential, but I need to work on it some more. So anyway, I wanted to, was that one of your one-hit wonders, that last song?
Beast of Burden.
Your Beast of Burden. Did those guys have any other hits?
I don't know.
Who was it? The Stones? They had a couple more besides that, didn't they? Yeah. That was another joke. And it just fell on me. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to tell everybody, too. This is I forgot to go to the gym today. That's 10 years in a row now. Who says nothing is impossible? I've been doing nothing for years. How's that? You don't need a parachute to skydive. You just need a parachute if you want to skydive twice. Like that?
Agreed.
Oh, man. Maybe I should just play something. Like we said last week, Walmart is starting the Christmas music this week, but I won't be starting till after Thanksgiving, so... Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Okay, I lied, all right? Anyway, November 4th, monks, a fabulous act called Zeno and Joe. They have been down there before, and if you have seen them, you know what I'm talking about. Zeno was the original lead singer for Cheap Trick in 1973, before Robin was free of his contractual obligations up in the Dells with me. He suggested that they get Zeno, whose name is Randy Hogan, and went to school with us. He was in the high school choir with Robin and me. That's where we all met up. And Rick Nielsen named him Zeno just to give him some international color, apparently. Not necessarily to make it easier for people to spell the guy's name, because they can't. It's X-E-N-O. Anyway, Randy Hogan is his real name, and his sister, older sister, and my older sister were friends in high school. And when we were kids, way before high school, it was a big deal for anybody to be in a band when we were kids, you know. I started playing when I was 9, and it really wasn't good enough to play in front of anybody till 10 or 11, but 12 even. But we would hear about guys that had bands when we were first starting in bands, 13, 14 years old. 12 years old, I guess I started at 12 being in a band. I was in fifth grade and I was in a band with a much better player and singer than myself by the name of Rick Baxter. And there was a kid who was a little older than us who could play drums, had a set of drums. That's a big part
That's
of it right there. Yeah, when you're 12 or 13 years old, find a kid that wants to play with you that has a set of drums. That's not easy. Anyway, at 12 or 13 years old, you start playing. If you start playing in these bands, you know who else is playing in bands, and you can get on your bike, and if somebody's making a noise in somebody's garage, you're gonna go. You know, when we were kids, didn't matter if it was country or whatever they were playing. Basically, everybody was listening to the same selection of, you know, 40, 50 songs, 80, 100 songs tops on the radio.
Mm-hmm. The rotation, yeah.
I mean, because there wasn't any choices of radio stations. There was just one or two that you listened to that played anything you wanted to hear. And so they would all, we would all be playing just about the same songs. There might be some oldies and in there. And you would go. You'd get on your bike and go listen to anybody. So, and the kid that was the best player that we knew of was Randy Hogan. He could play guitar better than all of us, and he sang really good. And he had a band with a kid named Dan Johnson. And he had, believe it or not, some sort of a portable organ, which was unheard of back then. A combo organ, you know. There wasn't any electric pianos, electric organs even then, back in the 60s. But I remember this guy, he had a keyboard, and he was down in Randy's basement, and he had it set up on stacked-up beer cases that his dad, Randy's dad, must have drank a lot of beer or something, because he had tons of cases. I mean, this many cases of beer for this guy to stack his keyboard on. And bottles were returnable then, see?
Yep, yep.
That's why you'd save them. You would save up a bunch of them and return them all at the same time. Which reminds me of another story I'll tell you about me as a little kid and returning the bottles. But anyway, Randy was the best. And somehow in the last 50 years, he has aged about 15 years, and I've aged about 50, or maybe 60. So he looks young, and he plays better than ever, he sings better than ever, and he was in a band a few years back, 10 years ago, called No Strings Attached, and it was him playing a guitar and a girl fiddle player. And Tommy Graywolf of Brooks and Dunn played fiddle, and he had an electronic fiddle, and with all these stacked on effects, he could make it sound like just monstrous, cool. Distorted, and everything that you could do to make it sound thicker and bigger. And he did it. Well, now Tommy Graywolf has been replaced with a guy named Joe Ketchum, who's concert master at the Skylight Opera Theater in the Third Ward in Milwaukee. He's 20 years been the chairman of the string department of Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. Mm-hmm. Okay, big time qualified guy, and he drinks beer and smokes cigarettes and plays the that same kind of huge sounding violin that Tommy Graywolf did. And they are Zeno and Joe. His name is Joe Ketchum, and Zeno is still using Cheap Trick's name for him. And they play, just the two of them, but they tackle classic rock that you wouldn't ever hear a duo, a couple of guys, try to play. They're doing Baba O'Reilly by The Who and Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, rock and roll. I mean, Randy can sing, Zeno can sing Robert Plant really, really good. And Roger Daltrey too, obviously. And then they do mix in Beatles and Bee Gees and all kinds of stuff, but it's such an enormous sound that you surprise yourself. You have to kind of look away and look back at the stage. Two guys, right? You look away, look back, still two guys. Yeah, still two guys. But it sounds much, much bigger. And they were here before, and everybody that was here a couple of years ago, a year ago when they were here, will be back, and there'll be a lot more of them. So November 4th, I think it's only $10 to go to this show. And they have, if you haven't been to the theater at Monk's, it's 180 or 200 seats, and every seat is a good seat. They have cocktail service, a bar there. You can get food. I mean, it's not normal bar band stuff. Bar band, over there where they push the pool table aside and the band is set up in front of the old style sign, or
Drummer plays on the pool table.
And then it's not like that. It's a real show, and they're coming November 4th. So, I don't think it's sold out, but you can call Dan Collar or email him at dan.collar, collar like on your shirt, at monksbarngrill.com. Don't forget the dot between Dan and Collar. That gets a lot of people messed up.
Who knows what you'll find otherwise, huh?
Yeah, dan.collar at monksbarngrill.com. And I would give his cell phone number up, but that's last resort, so. I was going to also mention that, what does that say? I wore this shirt for a reason today. It says, I just stepped on my cord. Hope it doesn't. It says, Sergeant Pepper Live, and it's in the Cheap Trick script. On the back it says, 9 days in the life. You see that? I've been threatening to talk about this this show that I did with Cheap Trick out in Vegas in 2009, when they were doing Sgt. Pepper front to back, the Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band album by the Beatles. No, they said people, nobody could ever do it live. That's why the Beatles didn't do it live, because it would require an orchestra and all kinds of extra musicians and stuff. Well, somebody said that they thought Cheap Trick could do it. and Cheap Trick took him up on it. Learned the stuff. Played out at the Hollywood Bowl for charity the first time out in California. And it went over so big, they invited some of their friends to do other Beatles songs. And there was a Beatle extravaganza. So then Michael Milken, the financier that went to prison, before he went to prison, brought him to New York to do the same thing. And so they did this Sgt. Pepper Live so successfully that they decided to take it to Vegas. And when they decided to do that, Robin called me and asked me to be in the backup singers. So I'll share a little bit more about that with you when we get back from the break.
Stopped into a church. I passed along the way.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
So we're back. Brian Beebe here, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill all over the state, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells. So Robin asked me to be one of the background singers in this show, Sgt. Pepper Live, out in Las Vegas back in 2009. And they flew me out there, all expenses paid. Put me up in the Las Vegas Hilton, the convention center there where they did the show. And we rehearsed 10 hours the first day. The background singers just alone. And I thought sure that I'd be unable to sing when it came around to, you know, singing 10 hours. And but we were with, stop me if I've said this story before, Mike, but I... the first rehearsal session was with the orchestra director, and Jeff Emmerich, who was the original Beatles recording engineer on all those records, including Sgt. Pepper Live. And I'm sitting here, and Jeff Emmerich is sitting right here, and he's got these laminated pages of notes from his actual recording of Sgt. Pepper's originally awesome. By the Beatles, you know. And we're learning to do these background parts in the minutest detail. There's six guys singing, okay? Three of the guys are brothers. The Snyder brothers from Cincinnati were in one of the youngest Beatle, all Beatle tribute bands ever. These guys were like 9 and 10 years old, and they were on the Rosie O'Donnell show doing their Beatles tribute band, because they were that good even then. And they got the attention of Jeff Emmerich back then, so he brought them on to do this, the background parts in this show. And Robin invited me and another guy. And the Snyders brought a friend of theirs. So there were six of us up there singing these Beatles songs and having the time of our life out in Vegas, you know, meeting a lot of people. But anyway, we were out there for 17 days. There were 9 shows, as my T-shirt attests. But we were out there 17 days. And I've been to Vegas before, but I'd never been in a show. And we were at the Las Vegas Hilton, where Elvis did his 800 plus shows. He even actually had a tile in the stage floor that commemorated his standing there, doing these 800 shows. And it was Barry Manilow's theater at that time. We actually went to cast party up in the $15,000 a night suite at the top of this Las Vegas Hilton, and it happened to be Barry Manilow's suite, which had been Elvis's suite. And there was a $100,000 Bösendorfer for grand in the living room, and I played it, and we all sang
all night
stuff.
Yeah.
But the bedroom had this marble pedestal bed that must have been Elvis's bed, and probably now Barry's bed, you know. But we actually took pictures of all the gilt, gold, everything, and marble, everything, you know, statuary everywhere in this incredible suite of rooms. Anyway, we're out there, and it was an amazing time for me. We actually had Joe Elliott come and join us for a song. The lead singer of Def Leppard joined us on a Tuesday night show and sang Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Joan Osborne was in the show. I'm kind of rushing because we got 5 more minutes. There's a lot to say about this show, and I have been reluctant to talk about my association with Robin, because I've learned over the years that I've always felt like it was bragging about something, and I could never produce any real evidence of anything besides photos and tapes. Every time I would try to invite Robin to a party and get my friends over there, here, look at, see, I do know Robin, and he would always stiff me. He was just always was, you know, never there for that. But that's okay. I mean, I understand what his life changed into from what it had been when I knew him, you know. So, but anyway, Joan Osborne, who sang "What If God Was One of Us," just a stranger on the bus. Remember that song?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, she sang a couple of songs, and Ian Ball from a band called Gomez was in the show. He sang some. He sang "I Am the Walrus" and a couple of cool songs. He sang "Drive My Car," and some of the other non-Sgt. Pepper Beatles songs. There was a whole bunch of them that weren't in Sgt. Pepper, because it's Pepper albums, you know, 45, 50 minutes, and you got to make a 2-hour show out of it, you know. So anyway, that you can go on YouTube if you want to and look for Sgt. Pepper Live, Cheap Trick. And there's a 9-minute video by the Bill Evans. Bill Evans was the name of the producer of this show. And he had a 9-minute compilation of lots of different moments from the show. and it's there. You can still see it. So if you wanted to see what this show was like, and you can see me in there, like 45 or 50 seconds, and 3 minutes into it, I don't know. I'm up in the choir loft up in the second story, and there's only one guy that's got the bright blonde hair. I'm the only one you can see actually up there in all the pictures and all the video of that. So anyway, I want to thank Mike Brockvelt in the control room for answering all your calls. Want to thank all the people.
That was a rough one today.
thank all the people who called in, and appreciate your opinions, and maybe I'll come back and do this again sometime. I don't know. I'm not getting any better at it. We didn't get any requests. So. Let's see. Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. The girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Thank you once again to Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Go see Zeno and Joe Saturday night, November 4th. Let's see what else can I... What did you think if I sang out of key? Go ahead. Stand up and walk out on me. Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I thought I would take it out with some Sgt. Pepper, you know. I read the news today, boy. By the lucky man who made the grade.